listeners to the DLH Insights podcast. My name is Porter. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm the Corporate Social Responsibility Specialist here at DLH. I am always excited for the episodes that we record, but this one is special because we actually don't even have any DLHers on our episode today. We have a very special nonprofit partner and their team with us here today. So if you have been with DLH within the past year, you've definitely heard the name Dove, or Donor Outreach for Veterans. If you are new to DLH, you would definitely hear more about Dove as we work through the entire calendar year, making some events, whether virtual or in person, with Dove. They are a really wonderful organization. So today we have Sharon Kreitzer, who is our executive director of Dove, on the call, as well as one of the actual veterans who went through and partnered with Dove in order to get a kidney, Lauren Merritt. And then we have a bit of a kidney triangle, or maybe more, participating with us today too. So we have Eric Leeming, as well as Joanna Field, who participated in donating their kidney to the network of individuals that are waiting for a transplant. So we're going to have a really moving episode here today for our listeners. So hopefully you guys can really connect with what we're sharing about Dove and just about the process of organ donation in general, which is very timely because April is Donate Life Month. So very happy that we can have this discussion. So Sharon, I'm going to start with you and pass it over to you so that you can introduce yourself and Dove and we can kick off the episode.
Great. Thank you so much for that really good introduction, Porter. And of course, I have to also thank DLH for your steadfast support of Dove. Since our launch in 2020, DLH was one of our earliest supporters, and that support has just grown, and the engagement of your employees has meant so much to this organization. So thank you. I am really happy to be here and talk a little bit more about Dove. I'll give a brief overview of what Dove is, and then I'd really just like to have the trio that you highlighted tell their stories, because that's what it's all about. Today is also a special day because we had our 37th veteran transplant happen today.
Yay! Oh my gosh, congrats.
Thank you. And that the one today happened to be at the Pittsburgh VA. And so that's the first time we've had a veteran transplant at that VA. And our network is growing. And I got a report just before this podcast that both the donor and the veteran are doing really well. So that's great news. Awesome. And, you know, and it's an organ donor life a month. So it's just nice to be talking about all of this. And thanks again for the opportunity. So Dove is a nonprofit that I founded in 2020, and it really came about after my work at the VA in New York, at the Bronx, when I launched a VA transplant program there. And I learned that the access to transplant for veterans in the VA system was much lower than compared to the civilian centers. And there were a lot of reasons for that. But as I learned when I was in the VA, there was such an outpouring of support, not only within the military community, but in the public to help veterans. So it just didn't mesh with me. Why was there such a low living donor transplant rate when there's such a robust level of interest and support in helping veterans? And that's when I thought that there was an opportunity to fill that gap, raise awareness that there were veterans who needed help, and then match potential donors to those veterans. So I thought that if people could personalize the gift of donation specifically to benefit a community they cared about, more people would learn about donation, and more veterans would be transplanted. So that's, very simply put, what I've done with Dove. I'm a matchmaker, and I'm also a supporter of the donors. And I really do try to advocate and help a donor navigate the often too complex process of the evaluation. And just by providing that support translates into successful transplants. And also letting the veterans know, like Lauren, that they're not alone in their search is very important to me. Veterans have served our country. Their mindset is to serve others. It's uncomfortable for anyone to ask for an organ donation, but I think in particular, it's uncomfortable for veterans who are really just more comfortable helping others. So I'm going to let Lauren speak to that as well. So I'm really just want to thank Eric and Joanna again for your kindness and your caring and your gift of life. And I want to thank Lauren for working with Dove and for your service and sacrifice. And I look forward to hearing your stories.
That was awesome, Sharon. And congratulations on 37. That's an incredible number. I'm so glad that you've made it there. It's only been 4 years since Dove started when you really addressed that need for getting veterans specifically connected. So congratulations on 37, especially considering the crazy wait time that it can be to even move through this process. So I imagine there's a lot going on emotionally there, but having 37 people get successful transplant is awesome. So congratulations, Sharon, on all your hard work.
Thank you.
We can move to Lauren. I would really love for you to introduce yourself. Sharon's teed you up there. We definitely are feeling the love from the Dove team. So thank you so much for your service and for being able to come forward with Dove and find that partnership, especially in your time of need. So thank you so much for giving so much to our country. And I'm really glad that Joanna, you were able to give your kidney to Lauren. So Lauren, I will let you have the floor. Please feel welcome to introduce yourself and anything that you'd like to share with the listeners.
Okay. Yes, I'm Lauren. I'm a veteran. I served 9.5 years in the Army. Like I said, throughout, you know, military time, I loved it. Got to do 2 tours in Iraq, traveled a lot around the world. But like I say, other than that, I knew I had high blood pressure before, but like back then I was younger, so I never really like took it serious as far as medication and all like that, what it actually took, until I got older, a little bit older now. But in 2022, January 18th to be exact, is when I went to the emergency room, just thinking it was like a stomach virus or something going around, because I had people at work sick, and went into the emergency room. It was like, all right, you know, they'll probably give me antibiotics or something, and I'll be back home. And come to find out, they were like, no, you're in stage 5 kidney failure right now. You're getting admitted to the hospital, and you'll be going through dialysis soon and surgery to have a catheter put in and all. So it just kind of went just like that.
You weren't expecting
yeah. So I guess after that, was on dialysis for 2 years. And in that time, they actually scheduled it for the surgery to take place in New York, in the Bronx. And that's when coordinator there told me about the Dove program and what Sharon did and told me to give her a call. So I gave her a call. She went through the whole process with me and, you know, told me about how everything would work. I sent her a biography of myself and pictures, and she set up the webpage and all like that. And, you know, just told me to share it. And like I said, through her help, I ended up getting in contact with Eric as the donor. Although he wasn't a match for me, he still ended up going through it, which I appreciate so much. And it was just like, okay, this is really happening.
Yeah.
So once he did his sometime in October, I think it was. And around, like I said, Thanksgiving holiday, I remember getting a phone call from Dove, and they were like, you know, just be on the lookout. It'll probably be soon. And within like the next 3 days, I got a phone call that morning that was like, you're going in for surgery on the 19th of December. This is all you're going to have to do. Get ready. It's like, okay. So I remember
jumping back into it.
I remember that morning running through the house, waking everybody up.
I'm getting a kidney.
Yeah. So it was, like I say, it's been an adventure since then. Even like I say, going into the surgery, it was a lot, you know, having to still do dialysis and everything. But that day leading up to the surgery, I still didn't know where the kidney was coming from. Mm. All they told me was it was coming from Texas. And that's all they left it in. So once I had the surgery done, it was probably like 2 weeks later, they sent me an email from the coordinator and was like, I have an email from your donor. She really wanted to get in contact with you. Would you like to see it? I said, of course. So I sent the email and I wrote back, I think like 2 days later, trying to gather all my thoughts of everything. And when I sent it back, they took time to send it back to her. But once they sent it, she replied right back and was like, here's my information if you want to talk. Mm-hmm. And we started talking, you know, right, pretty much a couple of days after that, just talked to her on the phone. And then we started sending texts back and forth. But like I said, I couldn't be more thankful for life, for them, for Eric and Joanna, because without them, and of course, Sharon, who knows, I'd probably still be doing dialysis right now, waiting. So,
wow. That's incredible, Lauren. Thank you for sharing your story. You've gone through a lot. So thank you for taking the time to advocate and share so that other people can learn from you too, because that's a really powerful way to share how other veterans can get connected if they're in your shoes. So thank you for sharing that. Our listeners cannot see everyone here, but I want to address the kidney triangle that we have. So Eric, if you could jump in and share your story here and let us know how did you get connected into being like, yeah, I want to give my kidney to Lauren. Like, how did that start for you?
Yeah. So thank you. So I was in my car one day. I don't have cable TV at home, but I get a SiriusXM in the car. And I just happened to be listening to Fox News, and the story came on, and it was Sharon being interviewed by, I believe it was Pete Hegseth. It was Memorial Day weekend, if I recall correctly, and told about the Dove Network. And I was like, that's pretty fascinating. So I came home and talked to my daughter, and she says, well, I'm going to do a little research. I don't know who this person is. You know, who are these people? And so when she said, oh, they seem pretty legit. So I filled out a contact form. Sharon got a lot of inquiries, I think, from that episode. And she and I eventually spoke, and she told me about the process, and she asked me what I wanted to accomplish. And I said, well, what do you mean? She says, well, is there anyone in particular that you have a preference? And I said, well, I would like it to be somebody who is somewhat younger than me, someone who maybe is a parent, a dad or a mom, has kids, that would be important. And so she says, let me get back to you. And she got back to me and she says, how's this sound? And she told him about Lauren, and he's married with 4 kids all at home. And I thought, and you know, what I shouldn't say his age, but he's younger than my oldest son. Let's put it this way. And my oldest son has 5 kids of his own. So, you know, that resonated with me. So I said, let's do it. And from there, I wasn't sure what the next step would be as far as what the center I would use. And it turned out that I'm in Phoenix, and the Mayo Clinic has the Scottsdale office and the Phoenix office that I would be able to connect with. And that whole journey was incredible from when I reached out to them, because they have this huge supportive network of people who are social workers, medical teams. Mm-hmm. And there was any number of times that social workers were connecting with me, sort of like, are you sure you want to do this? You know, it's my mental health to make sure. And, you know, is anybody making you do this? You know, are you doing this on your own free will? Do you have people to support you and all that? Mm-hmm. And then the whole medical thing, and Sharon advised, and she was absolutely correct. When you get to the point where you're approved for that transplant, you will have gone through such an in-depth medical review. Mm. I am pleased to say I'm as healthy as all get out. So that's good news. And I learned some things about myself. Lauren, well, he didn't get my kidney. I'll tell you that story in a second. But my kidneys were a bit unique in that normally you have one artery and one vein going in and out. In one of my kidneys, I had 2 of each, and the other one, I had 3 of each. And so the one that they took was the one with only having 2, with the thought the transplant team has less pieces that they have to deal with. Nice. And so I'm with my single kidney, and they talked about recovery. I was, basically out of work for 2 weeks, went back. I teach. It was a virtual class. I went right back to teaching, taught a 2 week virtual class. Mm-hmm. The only medication I took for pain, and Joanna, I don't know how well you did, but I did Tylenol 3, which is Tylenol with codeine. And I did that once a day at night before going to bed just to make sure. So really, I tripped myself up, and they said, you need to walk around after mm-hmm. surgery. So I was like, great, let's do this. My surgery was in November, actually, on the 14th. And on Thursday, the 16th, I'm like, I'm going to go to the gym, and I'll go on the treadmill and just go really slow. I'm a marathon runner. And so I went super slow. And the next day, I felt terrible. And I reached out like, yeah, when we said walking, we meant 5 minutes, not 30 minutes.
Oh no.
So lessons learned, listen to your doctor a lot more carefully than you might think. And they told me, though, that I was not going to be a match to Lauren. And I had a decision to make if I wanted to stay in it. And that's when I really understood about the paired exchange program. And that's where they explained that because I would be donating my kidney anonymously, and it would go to someone that my person of choice, and that being Lauren, qualified to move up to the top of the list. So the next time a kidney that comes available for him, he would be right there. And then shortly thereafter, Lauren, I think you said less than a month later is when you had your surgery because of Joanna. So I was so thrilled to know that two people were able to benefit from my single donation. Yeah. And surprisingly enough, if that wasn't good enough, I mean, I'm so thrilled that it's Lauren. The person who actually got my kidney, we met, he had to retire. He used to work for NASA. He was a scientist that put the Mars rover on the planet Mars.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
So he's like a super smart guy. And here's the other benefit too. And Sharon, I don't know that you and I have spoken specifically about this, but what I'm being told is that when you have a living donation, as opposed to when you're taking a donation from somebody who has just died or is dying, the longevity of that kidney is so much better because it hasn't started going through that dying process. I was told when they were putting my kidney into my person, they only got half it hooked up. It started trying to work right away. And within the first 24 hours, he output 9 liters of fluid, which is incredible. So it's just, it's blessings all around. If this is something that you can do, look at it, look into it. I feel like I got more out of it.
Yeah. Well, I think you had multiple veins and arteries, so you could help multiple people with your kidney there.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, that's wonderful.
It's still emotionally 6 months out. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm not really connected to this, but it's amazing even just learning about this. So I can't imagine what you guys are feeling going through this. Lauren, like you experienced the true, might not get a kidney donation, and then being able to get connected to the network. And then finally with Eric and Joanna, that's a lot of emotions going through, guys. So I'm really glad that Dove, you have that foundation of support for everyone to be able to really connect and have the network and the safety net essentially to work through this so that you are not alone and you really understand that. It sounds like that's what I'm hearing from you guys. So Eric, thank you for sharing that. And you mentioned the exchange program. So the connection there of, okay, I want to donate, I really want to help. You can still do that, even if it's not going to a specific person. You're going to be able to elevate them. The exchange program is a really wonderful structure to try and keep those organs moving through the system and getting into individuals who really, truly need it. So even if you're like, oh, I'm not a match for so-and-so, if you continue to move forward with the donation process, if you really think about it, you're going to be creating this amazing domino effect for individuals who need a transplant. So Eric, thank you for sharing that.
Of course, if I could just add, there's something I'd wanted to mention that I learned from the person who got my kidney. He was living in California when he was first diagnosed as having it. And he was limited to people who were donating their kidneys within a 250-mile radius from where he lived.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And he realized living on the West Coast, half of his 250-mile radius was in the ocean. So he moved. He had the ability to move inward to Oregon. And that opened up an entire 250-mile radius around from where he was, which came down into Scottsdale, which qualified him to be part of the Mayo Clinic, which otherwise he would not have
Yeah, that's a good part of the story. Just, I mean, the system is set up the way that it is, but there are ways that we can work through the system and get connected that way. So, and Dove is one of them. So that's really interesting. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, so Joanna, we're going to move over to you now because Lauren, you have Joanna's kidney. So this is the kidney triangle, the domino effect that we've created. So Joanna, I would love if you could jump in and share about yourself and your story.
Yeah, hi. So I feel like I'm maybe the odd man out here a little bit. I have a really strong connection to the exchange program, but no connection at all to Dove except for Lauren. So, welcome to the family. Yes. I was not purposely giving a kidney to a veteran. I'm very happy that I was able to. I have lots of family members who are veterans. So I was excited when I found out that he was a veteran. But my mom needed a kidney transplant, still does, actually. She is still currently waiting for her kidney. My siblings and I all tested to be a match for her, and various things took people out, you know, for various reasons, but it came down to me. And, you know, in the beginning when we knew she needed a kidney, I said from the beginning, it's going to be me. I just know it. I know it in my heart. I don't know why, but I am going to be the one to give you a kidney. And all my siblings were like, ah, you don't know that, you know, you don't. And I was like, okay, just wait. So I got my testing done, and I was perfectly healthy, but I was not a match for my mom. That was hard, but then obviously my coordinator said, okay, you just make a decision and you let me know. The next step is just you decide what you want to do. So immediately I said, oh, I'm giving my kidney to somebody, but hold on, let me see if I want to do, you know, there's the parent exchange, and then there's also, I don't remember what the other option is called, where it's like a swap. You know, you go in at the exact same time for the surgery. They get a kidney, you give a kidney at the same time. So the paired exchange, I could decide when I wanted to do the surgery, which is better for me with my work schedule. And then, you know, obviously she would be put on the list to find a kidney. So I decided I wanted to do it. You know, I told him I wanted to do it between this date and this date. And yes, Lauren's story is so funny because it was the Friday after Thanksgiving. So I lived 2.5 hours away from home, from where my mom lives. And I was home for Thanksgiving. And it was a Friday right after Thanksgiving. And I got a no caller ID call on my phone. I thought, that's weird. I wonder who's calling me, blocked. So I didn't answer. And then I get an email from my coordinator. And she's like, hey, Joanna, I have some really exciting news. I need you to answer the phone. Just give me a call, you know, or no, I'll call you back in 30 minutes. It's going to be a blocked number. And so I was like, okay. So I answer and she's like, hey, we found a match. I couldn't wait until Monday to tell you. I knew you would be too excited. I just wanted to let you know. Aww. So I'm like, oh my, you know, of course I'm like, okay, wow, this is actually happening. Just like Lauren said, I'm like, all right, let's hit the ground running with this thing. So yeah, it was like 3 weeks out from surgery. So I had taken the call in the other room because I had a feeling that maybe that was the call. And then I walked out and I sort of, you know, all my family's in there and they were having another conversation. So I waited a minute and I was like, hey, I have a kidney match. And my mom was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I just got it. So anyway, so it was exciting to be able to get that call with my mom because I didn't think that that was going to happen. You know, I thought that was going to have to be a phone call. So that was fun. But yeah, I mean, my situation is similar to Eric's. I had a really seamless recovery. I was back at the gym day 6. I was off.
Don't publish that.
Everyone listen to your your surgeon, listen to your coordinator. My surgeon gave me sort of, he was very nice in that he said, whenever you feel comfortable, just go back and ease back into it. If you don't feel right, don't do it. So I had his permission, his blessing to go, but I mean, it was great. I got off pain meds very shortly after I got home. I was in the hospital one night. I gave my kidney a few hours away from where I live. So I gave my kidney in Austin through the National Kidney Registry is actually where I did my match. And then I went home like 2 days after surgery and I was ready to be in my own bed. But yes, so I gave, you know, obviously the exchange program on behalf of my mom. And I feel really grateful, just like Eric said, that I got to help Lauren and then that I also get to help my mom. You know, I think that was sort of a blessing in disguise for me and for Lauren. And, you know, again, I was very devastated when I found out that I wasn't a match for my mom. I obviously wanted to do that for her. But after that sort of sunk in that there was just really nothing that I could do about it and I had to make a decision. I realized that in the end, this was obviously what was supposed to happen. This was, you know, I was supposed to help Lauren and I was also supposed to help my mom in sort of a roundabout way. So yeah, I'm thankful I did it. I'm glad I did it. I definitely got more out of it than I gave. I mean, I gave, and I also like to be clear whenever I talk to people about it, it is Lauren's kidney. It is no longer my kidney. So
I love that.
It's not something that I want him to ever feel like, you know, yeah, I have your kidney. I'm like, no, it's all yours.
It's yours now, Lauren.
And yes, that is my gift to you. So my mom is still waiting for her kidney, but she's a hard match. So we know it'll happen at some point. She was moved to the top of the list. So hopefully we're crossing our fingers that it's within the next few months.
Ooh, Eric, I'm right there with you. I'm getting a little emotional hearing everyone's stories. Yeah, this is incredible. And Joanna, if you don't mind me asking, and we can edit this out if you're uncomfortable, but what is your mom's name?
Holly is her name.
Holly. Well, yes. To all of our listeners and to Holly, if you could just send out some good vibes into the universe so that Holly is at the top of the exchange list and can get her difficult but very possible match for her kidney coming to her too. So everyone think of Holly throughout your day. So
Joanna, cool guys. Can I ask you a question?
Sure. Yeah.
So it sounds like you were like me. You were committed. You knew that this was something that you wanted to do no matter what. And I don't know if your experiences are similar to mine, where when I do share my story, I'm amazed at how many people are blown away by the fact that you and I have done something like this. And I sort of just took it for granted, like, well, I can do it, of course. Why wouldn't I do it? And some people say, I wouldn't do it unless it was for a family member, a loved one. And I just never thought of it that way. And I just thought, you know, if not people like me and Joanna, I mean, who else will do it if you don't have a family member that will? I don't know. I just discounted, I guess. I just, of course I can do it. Why wouldn't I do it? What's the downside?
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it. I think, you know, it's weird when I look back now that I've done it, I feel weird saying this, but for years I have thought I would love to give someone a kidney. You know, I would love to donate something like that to someone. Now I didn't know that my mom was in kidney failure at the time, but I've had that feeling for years. Now I never looked into it. I hadn't made the next steps to do that, but I had that thought. And so whenever the time came and then we found out about my mom, yeah, it felt like, well, yeah, why wouldn't I? You know, I mean, it was just like a no-brainer. So it is funny sort of to see people's reactions at times whenever they act like you're crazy for giving a kidney, you know, or act like it's just like the something that they could never anticipate, you know, doing or, you know, even think about doing. And I sort of nudge them, you know, and say, like, if you even have a thought, just look it up. You never know. And I like to sort of like reiterate the fact that, you know, you and I had really great experiences and that we were off pain meds pretty quickly and we were back at work pretty quickly and we were back at the gym. Like all of those things, I think, are things that are concerning for people. And leading up to it, the biggest thing was just the unknown. The unknown was I think I think that's the part probably that scares people the most, is just, you just don't know what you don't know. And so I think that was one thing after the fact that I think it's still hard to explain to people, but it's important, you know, like this is something that you can do. It has very little effect physically on your life, but emotionally and, you know, everything, it means everything to someone else. Obviously it's life changing, it's life saving. It makes a huge difference and it's very little sacrifice.
And Lauren, go ahead, Sherry.
Well, I just want to add that, you know, I'm just going to keep using Eric's quote too. It's blessings all around, because it truly is. I'm a kidney donor as well. And I donated after 26 years of working as a professional in transplant. So, you know, it's something that I truly believe is safe if you're cleared as well. And just imagine there's 96,000 people waiting for a kidney. I mean, out of that group, 2,000 are veterans, which is where I'm focusing on. But all we have to do is find a way to engage people to learn about this, because really, this is the situation where the wait list could be zero, because I know there are 96,000 people that would want the experience we've all had in being donors if they just knew and felt a reason to learn about it. And that's, again, the idea of a community approach, is because you get a community of people amplifying the message. You're also doing a community ask for a group of people in need. And I think there's more opportunity for more communities to do the same, to get more of a reach of the public.
Yeah, absolutely. We are close to out of time. Lauren, I want to ask if you could have the final word before we kind of wrap it up for everybody. But we're talking a lot about the idea of giving. So I was kind of curious of your thought of getting. How did that make you feel? You were the one receiving. How did that work for you? And for our listeners, Lauren took a deep breath and started smiling. So what are your thoughts there, Lauren? I was curious about that.
It was definitely, like I say, just a whirlwind of emotions, thoughts, feelings, like Joanna said, the unknown, because it was like, okay, we're going into this. And, you know, like the doctors were saying, you know, it could be a potential chance that it doesn't work right away. You mm-hmm. might have to continue dialysis a couple of days after. We might have to try to kickstart it or whatever. So it was just like going into it, just like, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if just like everything? But like I say, through the process, I was excited, nervous, every emotion you could think of. But at the same time, like the picture I sent Sharon, the post on the thing, that was just me being silly the night of, because I had nothing else to do. Like, I couldn't do nothing but just be happy and, like I said, and all like that. But once they did the surgery, like I said, they said the kidney started working like right away. Mm-hmm. So it was no time in between anything. I think, like I said, I stayed in the hospital I went in Tuesday to do the surgery, and by Friday I was coming out, going back to the Fisher House to just rest and recover. So, yeah. Like I said, I was very thankful on that end of, you know, like I say, two people that I had no idea about in mind whatsoever, just, you know, took that faith in me and was like, I want to do this, even if, you know, like Eric, he was like, I still want to do it regardless. That I know it takes a lot. And I'm so thankful for that. And even Joanna, like she said, when she sent me the email, she said right away, it's no longer mine, it's yours. And I'm, you know, and I told her even still, like, it's still, you know, like, I know it's mine, but it's still partly yours also, because you took that gift of giving me that.
Joanna was like, no, no,
not mine anymore. Don't say that. It's all yours.
So, you know, like I say, I'm forever grateful for that, you know, and always will be.
Wow. Well, we have ended the episode on very emotional heartstrings, guys. So thank you so much for sharing so much of yourself, not just your kidney, but also your experience working through the military, Lauren. Thank you so much for your service and then coming forward with your story too. So to all of our DLHers and to all of our listeners with this episode today, Let's continue to keep making these kidney constellations. We are connecting so many different people just by jumping in, learning more about donation, what that transplant could do to impact so many more people than just yourself or one other person. You could really create that domino effect and ripple through the exchange program so that we're really elevating our individuals who need the transplant, like Holly. We want that to continue on. So please, 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 if you take anything away from this episode today, please share Dove's mission. Please take maybe 2 minutes, be curious online about what transplant looks like. And if that's a process that you might just keep going down that path to learn more and see where it takes you. And then share. Share Dove, share information about kidney transplant. You could even share this podcast. It'll be available on TLH's website. So if anyone that you know has been thinking about giving a kidney, then they can have a place to start, which sounds like it's been a really important thing to have. I talk about Dove in our DLH new employee orientation. And I always introduce you, Sharon, and I say, so if you're interested in donating a kidney, I know how to connect you. And it's definitely not many new employee orientations where you're asked to donate a kidney. So I kind of pride DLH on having that opportunity with Dove. So
thank you, Porter.
Yeah, thank you all, Lauren, Eric, Joanna, Sharon. Thank you all so very much for sharing this space today and for creating a really wonderful story and lived experience that you guys are going to have with yourselves for the rest of your life. So to all of our listeners, if you have any other topics for the DLH Insights podcast, please feel welcome to reach out to myself. I hope that you're going to share more about Dove after you pull into the driveway from listening to the episode. But we're excited for more DLHers to share insights from across the business with us and with the rest of the community. So thank you, Sharon, Lauren, Eric, and Joanna. I hope you have a wonderful evening.